This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:40 in the evening and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. And our first story this hour is really a continuation of a story from last week, namely Riza Aziz's money laundering case. This time we're looking at conflicting remarks that have come out from attorney generals, I think it's safe to say, former and current, and specifically the former attorney general Tommy Thomas's role in all of it. So just to recap, the Sessions Court recently gave former Prime Minister Datuk Sri Najib Razak's stepson a discharge not amounting to an acquittal after an agreement reached by the prosecution and defence. In short, this means that the government's case against him will be dropped as long as he helps them recover 465 million ringgit in assets lost from the 1MDB scandal. However, in the past week, we've seen former Attorney General Tommy Thomas being dragged into the picture after the MACC released a statement claiming that he sanctioned the agreement before he resigned. Since then, he's refuted the allegations twice, the second time denying current AG Tan Sri Idris Haran's statement that Tommy Thomas did agree to the decision in principle. And this situation being what it is, it did not end there. Lead public prosecutor Datuk Sri Gopal Sri Ram recently backed Tan Sri Idris via a text message to The Star that read, "Once the AG has made a statement, then that is the end of the matter." So there's been a lot of back and forth, but what sticks out here really is, I think, how two public institutions are using a former public servant to justify a controversial and criticised decision, the consequences of which could have negative implications for ongoing corruption cases. And there is a lot to get into, not least of which, last week when we spoke about it, we had lawyer Andrew Koo on the line just to give us what we always want whenever we read about legal cases, which is an understanding of exactly what the terms entail. Because not being lawyers, I think sometimes reading these articles, even reading the headlines, there's always, I personally feel, a gap of knowledge. And so today we're kind of continuing that. We're going to be speaking with Fari Azad, also a lawyer, to understand what's going on, what an agreement in principle is, and how to make sense of these competing statements. If you do have a question for Fari, you can send that through. You can call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We're going to be right back. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Banish fraudulent manoeuvres, BFM 89.9.
It's 5:44. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn, and we're talking now about the ongoing conversations surrounding Riza Aziz's money laundering case, specifically the fact that we've seen conflicting statements coming out from both former Attorney General Tommy Thomas as well as current Attorney General Tan Sri Idris Haran. So we're just going to be diving right into all the he said, I suppose, as well as what it all means, at least from a legal standpoint. If you have questions, again, you can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We're now crossing over, though, to lawyer Fari Azad to help us break down these competing claims. Fari, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for inviting me. I'm happy to contribute.
Okay, so let's start with this question then. Can you explain to us what an agreement in principle means and how much weight would be carried by such an agreement?
Okay. Let me take the second question first. It has no weight, in a sense, in creating a binding obligation. Usually when we speak in lawyer terms, in lawyer parlance, and we say agreement in principle, there's a spectrum of possibilities depending on the context and what the subject matter is. So on one end, at its highest, on one end, you can say agreement in principle is where I agree with this, and now you go and work out the details, okay? But we are not firm yet, but there's an agreement, and we're in it, but we're going to see it through. And then you have the other end of the spectrum where it's more like, I'm interested in exploring this, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm agreed in principle. So, okay, let's go and explore this, right? But you still retain that right at the end to say, no, I'm not interested because all these things, they didn't work out. So to me, when you say there's an agreement in principle, where it relates to a prosecution, I don't think you can say there's disagreement there. That's how I see it.
So my next question is really, I suppose, what do you make then of the competing statements that we are seeing coming out about whether or not this agreement in principle actually took place?
Well, I will say the words agreement in principle seem to be there because Tommy seems, Tan Sri Tommy has confirmed it. But I would say what he means by that may be quite different from what other people are thinking, right? But let's come back also to the point that what did the current AG say? I mean, the current AG, he's not, to me, he's not bound by what his predecessor did because a decision wasn't made, right? And that decision is his to make now. So even if he disagrees or he agrees, it's really his call right now.
And what do you think this says about Tan Sri Tommy Thomas's influence as a former public servant that this has happened, that there has been this entire back and forth that he has kind of emerged to make these public statements?
Well, I think I don't think it really reflects on Tan Sri Thomas, how should I say, influence. But I think what he had to do was come out and correct any errors or misstatements that were made, especially when they were in his name. Given he was the former Attorney General, given most of us know that he was appointed to take on all these 1MDB cases, of course he had to come out and say something because, you know, there are forces that are trying to get him out, right, and pin all kinds of blame on him. And I think it was very necessary for him to come out and clarify that because, as he said, to make such a deal... well, I won't say the least we can say of it is it wasn't in the public interest.
And on that note, we did see the statement say that, you know, the discharge not amounting to an acquittal of Riza Aziz was given prematurely. What are your thoughts on the issue?
I agree. I mean, have we got the money already? You know, I don't know what the actual deal was, but it seems to suggest he's going to refund some money out of it. But even then, you know, it should be done before you withdraw the case, isn't it? You know, it's a question of performance. Now, what happens if he doesn't do it? Then they have to restart the whole case again. They have to get everything in order again. They have to get the team back again. So just like any deal, you know, you want to see the money before you perform your part, isn't it?
Mm. And let's talk a little bit about the money. We have a couple of questions from listeners. We'll start with this from Mala, who says, you know, the bulk of what Riza is supposed to be surrendering to the Malaysian government in return for being let off has already been surrendered to the FBI. So the deal was empty because essentially, you know, he's surrendering nothing more than the DOJ already took. So Mala wants to know whether this is true.
Oh, well, I think we all want to know just exactly what money this is we're talking about here. I would love to say that I know, but I don't. But I think one other way we want to look at this is this, right? If I'm not mistaken, he's supposedly involved for, what, 200 million or something like that? I don't know the exact amount. But the other point is this. If he's convicted, you know, you don't only get jail time. Your fine also is five times the amount that you were, well, found to be have laundering, right? So I don't know, you know, if they had initiated charges, that means they're pretty confident of taking on the case. So it also looks from, how should I say, a financial analysis. It would have been better to proceed as opposed to withdraw. I mean, these are all the questions that are out there. You know, and that's why we have so many questions. And that's why when I think the lead prosecutor says the AG has spoken and that's the end of the matter, I don't think it is. And it's really surprising to hear that from somebody of his stature, because everybody has questions. I think right from the very deal itself, right down to the money. I've not heard a very good justification for this.
KH Tan also wants to ask a question, saying the government of the day should state its position on the decision taken as announced by the ad hoc prosecutor, whether it agrees to its decision or not. And I suppose the question there is whether or not you agree with that statement.
I think that, okay, I'm trying to, I read the statement as this, because Mr. Tan obviously knows what, how should I say, Gopal Sriram is legendary in the bar, right? He's legendary at the bar and the bench, and now he's also a prosecutor and he's doing this. So, of course, he wants to know, because, you know, everybody knows that Gopal Sriram is a very intelligent man and he does not simply do things lightly. Right. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, I can understand. But in terms of who is responsible for this decision, whatever his influence, ultimately, it's the AG. It's the AG's call. So we can say what we like and we can speculate. But at the end of the day, it wasn't his call, I feel. And he will not be responsible for that.
Right. And just to hone in on a separate part of KH's question, which was looking at specifically the government of the day stating its position, is that something that we would commonly see? Is that something we would expect, considering the difference in the institutions involved?
Ordinarily, I don't think AG or should be commenting on the case, but this particular case, as it relates to 1MDB, of course, is of immense public interest. So in this respect, I think definitely a statement has to come out to explain why this has happened. You know, I mean, 2018 was not long ago, and all the commentators were saying it went down because of 1MDB, and now you have a relative getting off. Of course, it's going to raise questions. There is this big public policy question that has to be answered. Because as you alluded to earlier, this can be a signal. What is it signifying, right? Mm. Is this a one-off, or is this going to be a trend and everybody under 1MDB is also going to get all these deals? We don't know. But definitely, I think everybody who is looking at this certainly is wondering, what's going to happen after this? Is anybody else going to get a deal?
And when we look at the claims and the statements that have been made, is there any way to prove who is saying, who, I suppose in the most simplistic form, who's telling the truth, right? Whose claims are accurate? Should there be an investigation? What might that investigation look like?
I don't think this is something that... It's going to be, how should I say, decided by this independent third party. Ultimately, this unfortunately was what looks like a political call, right? And to me, it brings the urgency of really separating the Attorney General from the public prosecutor, you know? And I would say this is something which was a shame Pakatan Harapan didn't get a move on, because we will be seeing less of situations like this if it were dealt that way, you know? But now, whenever AG makes a decision, of course, it seems to be politically influenced, right? And that's the problem.
So right now, with the statements made from both former Attorney General Tommy Thomas as well as current Attorney General Idris Harun, would either of these statements have an impact at all on Riza Aziz's discharge not amounting to an acquittal?
I think in the legal sense, in terms of what happens to his case, no, it will not have an effect. But I think it was very important that he came out and said those things, so that there is a public conversation going on about our administration as it is under this current government, and what their commitment is towards anti-corruption, right? I think that's the question it raises.
And just in closing, Fari, you talked earlier about the concerns of what this might signal, right? How it might be read, what ramifications we might see in the future. I suppose, you know, where do you see this heading? Are you hopeful that, you know, we are going to see a change in tone, or do you see this as a signal?
I see it as a signal of more of this to come. I'm naturally pessimistic about these things. Yeah, because I mean, you know, I practice a bit of criminal law and I hang out with some criminal lawyers, and I can tell you everybody's just looking at this and saying, wow. If this is how it's going to go down, I don't know. It seems you're probably better off trying to money launder and try and work a deal, no, than to earn an honest living. I don't know. But that's just how it looks to most people.
Well, hopefully that's not the case. But in the meantime, Fari, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Sure. My pleasure.
That was lawyer Fari Azad speaking about the ongoing controversy surrounding the court's decision to grant Riza Aziz a discharge not amounting to an acquittal, as well as the subsequent statements that we have heard come out of that. If you have any thoughts on the matter, if you have any questions that we could still try to get answered, you can, of course, WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. We're going to be back after the 6 o'clock news and looking into today's 2-hour Parliament sitting. That's coming your way shortly. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.